of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among the women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of the Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of this servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her for about 3 months and returned to her home. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
So I know there is some debate about when we can start listening to Christmas music, whether it be November 1st, December 1st, the day after Thanksgiving, or in Chris's preference, never. I personally can probably listen to Christmas music all year long, unlike Chris. For some of you, Christmas doesn't start until you get to the music, right? And I have found it interesting that we even have this genre of Christmas music. And I think you will all recognize the song based on some of the lines. Because if I were to say, "Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer," yes, "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas," there you go. And I know it's been said many times, many ways, but it's "Merry Christmas," yes. And even among the sacred traditional songs, you can remember the next lines, where, "O Holy Night." Yeah, there you go, see? "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Yes, this is like trivia day. "Silent Night." Yes, and "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." There you go, you guys got them all. And as I say these lines, you are thinking of the song and the tune. Some of you had to think of the tune because I was trying not to sing them myself. So some of you were trying to, you know, thinking of the tune in order to get the words because it just flows, right? Because you have heard them so many times and that you can recall them. And even now, with recalling them, they bring in all kinds of memories and emotions of Christmas. Christmas songs capture our emotions and memories, as some of them are even aimed at doing so. For example, Franz Joseph Moore penned "Silent Night" with the goal of drawing our attention to a night unlike any other and to calm our emotions, to focus on the unique setting and the miracle of that night. And when you hear these songs, though we have a mix of emotions and memories, maybe excitement, anticipation, nostalgia, joy, peace, and comfort, but for many of you, Christmas contains negative emotions, and the thought of dealing with it again this year brings extensive anxiety, fear, loneliness, and even possibly loss. During the American Civil War, for example, American poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow received a letter just before Christmas in 1863. The letter was concerning his son's injury in battle. Despondent and alone, he went for a walk, hearing the bells from the church, penned the poem about peace on earth, goodwill toward men. While the war raged in the South, and the outlook looked grim, the song communicates a despondent and lonely look at Christmas. It does not turn to hope and peace on... It does, by the end of the song, turn to hope and peace on earth and goodwill, but the poet does not necessarily attribute these things to Christ. But White Christmas is a song that is quite legendary about the emotions that it produced when it was first released. While on a USO tour in Europe during the war in 1944, tour organizers and Crosby himself were concerned about singing the song because they thought it would create too much homesickness and depression and for the GIs that were on the battlefront. The crowd of soldiers was so determined that Crosby sing the song that he did perform it, and indeed it did produce the emotions and memories that they were concerned about. So here we are today with Christmas songs all around us, generating these mixed emotions and anxieties concerning the holidays. For some of you, you hope for a normal Christmas with family, friends, and just hoping that they don't start arguing about politics or religion. For some of you, like Chris, you are ready for it to be over already and are trying to avoid all portions of it. But for some of you, you are anxious, afraid of the loneliness that is coming or is already upon you, and the music causes additional stress and frustration. It is like a pending doom that you cannot avoid. In a sense, this pending doom is the setting that Mary, the mother of Jesus, found herself, as we see in Luke chapter 1. We saw last week that the miraculous conception leads God's people to ponder or to wonder that the announcement that Mary received did indeed result in wonder and faith, yet the volume of stress and anxiety of that pending event of childbirth must have been immense. Not only in the normal birth is there already extensive concern, but for a young, unmarried woman, even greater, namely messing up the engagement, bringing shame on her family, and even risking punishment by death. Not only that, but as the angel Gabriel leaves, and having received that news, life for Mary kind of just remains the same for a moment. She had to have been like, did that just happen? Is this for real? How do I know this will really be fulfilled? And I think Luke is trying to answer some of these questions for his audience and for us to even understand today. How do we know for certain that these things are true? How do we know that a virgin can have a baby? Perhaps you are even a skeptic here this morning, saying that this is a legend and we all know she must have had some event and needed a cover-up story. For you, skeptic, is why Luke includes some of these details that we will see. And I ask you to consider and hear the text for itself. So for us this morning, we have the same goal as Luke. And we must remember the beginning of the book shows us that Luke researches the origin of this Jesus from Nazareth in order to share with his audience. He is persuading the audience of the validity of the story through fulfillment of the angelic message. He knows that the story can seem fanciful, so he researches and he talks to people who were part of it and remembers parts of the story in order that his audience might know for certain the things that have happened, as he wrote in the first verses of his book, where it says, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of these things, have these things have been accomplished among us, just as those from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having followed all these things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught." So for us too, he writes, that we may know with certainty the things that have happened. But even in our text, Mary too, feeling the changes beginning to happen in her body, no doubt begins to wonder about what the angel had told her. So for our text, we will see this morning the blessed fulfillment of the announcement leads God's people to rejoice. And that's kind of our main point this morning. The blessed fulfillment of the announcement leads God's people to rejoice. In our text today, we have two portions. The first one is the narrative portion, and this is the blessed fulfillment of the announcement. And then the second part is the blessed fulfillment that leads to rejoicing. And this is the song that we read. So now we look down at verse 39. And in verse 39, "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. The angel had given her proof of his message when he told her that Elizabeth was also expecting a child. So Mary, with haste, goes to see the miracle already at work in Elizabeth, to see the fulfillment that was told to her by the angel. We are not told how she made this 80-mile something journey and whether she made it with family or friends. Or perhaps even if she attempted this as a 13-year-old, this trip all alone. But she goes with haste in a true display of faith in the message of the angel to see Elizabeth. And here we see that first portion, a blessed fulfillment of this announcement. So we have seen the announcement, but how is the fulfillment a blessing? I mean, this is a single gal who will now be pregnant. It doesn't make any sense because she hasn't been with anybody. She is engaged, and the pregnancy will seemingly ruin everything. What will everyone think of her? Will she bring shame on her family? How will she know that this is really going to happen? So she goes to verify what has been told to her and take a look at the text to see what happens next. Verse 41, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed in a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who has believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Elizabeth probably doesn't know that she's even coming. But when Mary does arrive, she speaks, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and calls her blessed. And she expands on that and calls the fruit of her womb blessed. Even this unborn baby is a blessing. This is miraculous indeed. First, notice the details that are shared here. Before Elizabeth even sees Mary, in an important case, the baby bump, in case there is a baby bump, she knows what is happening. It is important, too, that it is Elizabeth, that the wife of Zechariah. Their own pregnancy was quite public because of his position and the muteness that the angel had struck him with, and all his family and all his and her family, the co-workers and colleagues, would have remembered this story, the story of the priest that went into the holy place and came out and couldn't speak. That would have been quite a story, all kinds of intrigue surrounding it. Then his wife, who was post-menopause, had a baby. A lot of people would have remembered this. This would not have been normal. This would have caused all kinds of stir and conversation everywhere. So a lot of people remembered this, and that's why it's important that Luke includes these stories or includes these details. Second, Elizabeth speaks first concerning Mary's pregnancy. Now, I know some of you ladies like to predict pregnancies and try to be the first one to notice. I never assume the age or pregnancy status for ladies. Like, I went to the coffee shop the other day, and the guy I was with started talking to the barista, and he's like, "How far along are you?" And I was like, "Bro, like, you're a brave person. Like, bold move. Because what if she wasn't pregnant? That's not me." So that's not what Elizabeth is doing here. This is not what happened. Before she sees Mary, and perhaps really even realizes who it is, because these two women probably didn't know each other super well, with generational differences, plus the 80-mile distance between the two of them, but being filled with the Holy Spirit, she speaks and confirms for Mary all that was spoken to Mary. Also remember, Zechariah is still mute, and not until the birth of his own baby is he able to express this, that it is so important that Elizabeth speaks in this text. Third, Elizabeth makes some bold statements, namely in recognizing the primacy of Mary compared to herself. Now, Elizabeth is the much elder of the two and the married to a person of position. But she, through the Holy Spirit, recognizes the superiority of Mary's baby. In humility, she recognizes, even before Mary speaks, what important role and task that Mary has before her. In fact, the whole comparison in Luke chapters 1 and 2 shows the comparison between Jesus with Mary and Joseph and John and Zechariah and Elizabeth. This series of narrative bouncing between the two and the various songs tying the narrative to the Old Testament show the superiority of Jesus to John, but at the same time showing how both are indeed miraculous and that with God nothing is impossible. In a time and place when parents can be competitive about their children and the achievements of their children, not to mention how excited for her own child Elizabeth had to have been, her exceedingly humble and gracious tone to Mary is a great example to us as parents and adults, young and old, to recognize the miracle that all children are, despite their achievements, and an example of the faith that nothing is impossible with the Lord. The fourth detail included here, additionally, is the age difference between the two women stands out dramatically. Elizabeth is post-menopause, and Mary, the age of betrothal, or puberty, so probably only 12, 13, or 14. Luke records the conversation between these two women. Remarkable at how rare to include a narrative of an intimate conversation between two women to show God's work in their lives. By including it, it is even possible that Luke actually was able to interview Mary in his research. Tradition says that the Apostle John cared for Mary as she aged and ended up in Ephesus. So it is possible that Luke crossed paths with her or those close to her at some point. And I think it is important for all of us, men and women, young and old, to notice God's work here. Mary is set before us as an example of godliness. Remember, she's only about 13. Not only that, but Elizabeth is set before us as an example of humility and godliness in older age. And they are women who are given to us as examples of God working miracles to be a blessing to all people. Young people, you can be used of God to be a great blessing to his people. Do not think that this church stuff is just something for your parents and you just have to attend. Or please do not let the only reason that you come is for fun games at youth group. Sometimes, I am sure, you wonder why here at Wetton we emphasize having our young people in these Sunday services. We don't have a separate youth group in order to just have fun and games. Here at Wetton, we realize the importance of and the work that the Lord is doing in the young people as part of the full church body, not just a demographic that needs to be entertained while the adults do the mature church things. Young people, rather, see the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can work in you just like he does in the adults through the ordinary means of grace. So please, young person, press into these Sunday services, the conversations at youth group, the wisdom of your parents, and Bible studies. Pray to the Lord to work in you to bring salvation to your heart that you may be a blessing to the world around you. And ask the Lord to open your heart to the work that he may have for you in his plan. God can use you greatly. And for us adults, remember that God will use young people. Do not dismiss the work of the Lord in them. Do not assume young people only care about fun and games. Pray that the Spirit would open the hearts of our young persons through the youth group to bring salvation and conversion. Pray that the Lord would grow them in wisdom and stature and that they might grow in their sanctification. Pray that they would have a deep affection for the things of the Lord and his word. But this message and an example is not just for the young people. Notice the other person in the conversation is an older woman beyond menopause. Now, dear saints, brothers and sisters, and I'm not naming names here, you may think that you do not have anything more to offer to God and his people. Perhaps you think even, I have done my time. This text reminds us that God is not done working in you or through you. When Mary is terrified and anxious about what is about to happen, the Holy Spirit provided an older woman to confirm the Lord's working deep in her soul. What an amazing testament that the proclaiming the truth of the Lord to a young woman did more for Mary than Elizabeth probably ever even realized. But the challenge is set before you older folks, and this is totally relative because you were all older than somebody. Elizabeth was available and understood the scriptures enough to know what was going on with Mary and the promises of a Savior. The final detail in this portion of the text is in verse 45. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Again, even before Mary speaks, Elizabeth is confirming everything that the angel spoke of to Mary. And Mary, taking the message of the angel at his word, that Elizabeth would be having a baby, she goes to search it out and see for herself. But rather than unbelief, Mary pursues the message in faith. Zechariah, on one hand, wanted a sign about the message, and the angel makes him mute as his sign. But for Mary, the angel gives the sign through Elizabeth. Mary is going to see Elizabeth. Going to see Elizabeth is a great act of faith in this message. The Lord blesses her through the great act of faith, and he blesses her in providing Elizabeth to encourage and build her up. The blessed fulfillment then that we see here of this announcement comes through the people of God. the people that God uses to comfort and bless each other. Their faith is built up because of the truth they share with each other. Let me pause for a moment and let that sink in for you all. When believers act in faith together as a corporate body, and even as we act in faith sharing the word with each other, we bless each other greatly. May we be a people that blesses each other also by the truth of the word that we share with each other. The blessed fulfillment here then also leads to a natural response in rejoicing in the Lord and his work, which is our second main portion of this text, or point in this text. The blessed fulfillment leads to rejoicing. It leads to a song. Now, one somewhat popular story gives us a jingle that to spread Christmas cheer, sing loud for all to hear, or however it goes, for those of you that may recognize that. Is that how it goes? Something like that anyway. We as Christians have much more to sing about than just Christmas cheer. Here in our text, Mary sings a song as a result of the Spirit's work and the encouragement from Elizabeth, traditionally referred to as the Magnificat. Essentially, every line is borrowed from the Old Testament and woven into a remarkable, personal, and profound theological hymn. Mary sings a song rejoicing, revealing even more about her faith. It also shows us that she probably, like many youth, would have sung so many songs at festivals and holidays, and would have, in which she would have meant she had an assortment of theological lines and songs, particularly from Hannah's song and for Samuel, all bouncing around in her head. Then in these moments of anticipation, moments of faith and anxiety and perhaps fear, she goes to the scriptures that she has memorized and sung over and over again to compile this great song. A good reminder for us brothers and sisters alike that in the times of sadness, loneliness, anxiety, and even joy, rejoicing and excitement, that our minds will recall much of what we put into it. If all we consume is media, which may or may not be a bad, but it's just constant news, sports radio, books, podcasts, or just pop music, whatever, then that is what the words and the thoughts that we tend to come to mind first. Let us be a people that fills our lives with the Word of God, so that when we experience these things, this trauma, pain, even joy, the words our hearts go to for comfort and expression is the Word of God itself. This short song has four stanzas, four sections, four strophes in a sense, and it starts with Mary in verse 47. She begins with praising the Lord and rejoicing because of the Lord's work in her life and her heart. As it says, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. This is deeply personal introspection. From deep in her affections, her soul rejoices in the God of her salvation. Note, she realizes her own need for a Savior. Being a sinner herself, she needs a Savior. She is not perfect, as some traditions might speculate. Rather, despite her humble and fallen state, God is, in his grace, moves and works to bring about his plan for the ages through Mary. Mary has done nothing to deserve her place in all this. Rather, solely the gracious working of God. Then section 2, Mary shows Mary seeing how the attributes of God working in her moves to bring glory to his own name, not hers. For, as it says in verse 49 through 50, that's section number 2. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and his holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him, from generation to generation. And here she captures all these Old Testament themes like name, mighty, holy, mercy, generations, just giving us images of like Exodus 34, where the Lord describes himself as gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. She begins to move outward from the work and grace of the Lord in her heart and seeing God's grace and mercy to the generations, showing the work that God is doing through her to be more than just him working in her, but something that will impact generation after generation. So as you read this, read these and reflect on these, she starts to expand outward. Dear brothers and sisters, as much as we like to think about God's plan for us and his working in us and praying often for his will in our lives, we must look around us to see the Lord's working in us just as much as he's working in the people coming up after us. He's working in those around us just as much as he is working for us. God's work in Mary would result in blessing the generations. So also his grace and salvation in you means he is working in the generations to come. Whether that be the work of your own children or just that because of your testimony and proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes by partaking in the Lord's Supper in a corporate setting, God's mercy in life is not about you, for he has done this great work of his for his own name. What a remarkable wonder that we should that he should choose to bring us his blessed salvation to the and bring use us to bring it to the people around us for his name's sake. Maybe be ones that lean into that every day and see that the people, we are a people not just called to salvation, but a sent people to bring that blessing everywhere. Not because it makes us feel better about ourselves, but for his name is holy. Mary continues this theme in the next section where she expands on God's work and how it changes everything about how we think and how we see the world around us. God does not work like we think he should. Namely, rather the God of all creation not coming to in a palace and changing the world, or as some of you in the first hour class, he's not a quarterback from Dallas. The great changing of the world through might and power. No, he comes in a still small voice and reverses all human assumption of what is important, worthy, and admirable. So the third section starts to show God working in greater ways than we can understand. And it shows us, as she's moving outward in these things, she shows us this great reversal that we have seen throughout Scripture. Mary captures it well here by showing that how God works in areas and ways that we do not think of and that we don't expect. Jesus entering our world as a baby is the ultimate example of this. For in verse 51, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. With these reversals, Mary is expounding on the work that her baby would do. Not only in his birth would he be born in a humble estate, but in his life and death would be a great reversal of everything we know. Rather than being a people, what the people want or expect, he rather comes as a simple baby born in a barn. He lives a humble upbringing, not in palaces or government circles. He's not a person of means. He's not connected politically. His death on a cross is a stumbling block for the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. He does not employ the means of coming in power that we would look for or expect. How could the Savior of mankind die on a cross of all things? And Mary shows us this truth of the Lord's work being such that he cares for the humble, the hungry, and the poor in this world. He cares for the marginalized persons and the rejected persons. He sees the victims and the hurting, and he enters into this mess, and he lives it to its fullest extent. Dear friends, this morning, if you are not a Christian, thank you for being here with us today, and I hope that you think through this portion deeply. You may be cast out or feel rejected and hungry and humble. This message here, then, is for you. See the text? God brings his grace to you just like all the others. God cares for your soul, and Christ came into this world to bring his salvation. Please consider and reflect on your own state and repent of your sin, for God is a loving God, and Christ is a great Savior. This indeed is where Mary goes with this song. She started with herself and the gracious work of God in her. And as a result of that work, the song moves out from her own soul reflecting on these things. She starts by looking in, and then she starts to look out at the Lord's work as she goes along. That the work of Christ would be doing in bringing salvation. And it brings us to the final portion, the fourth portion of her song in verses 54 through 55. Probably the most profound portion of the song. Mary is expanding from God's work in her and moving out to show the fulfillment of promises that God made to Abraham that his descendants would be a blessing to all humankind. See the text, verse 54. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and he has spoken to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. and see that she is referring to the covenant given to Abraham back in Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in all the families of the earth shall be, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Mary rightfully realizes in her song the fulfillment of the promises given long ago to Abraham. She sees her role in the old promises of God to make the people of Abraham and his descendants in Israel to be a blessing to all people. Mary in her womb is carrying the blessing of God to the world. All babies are a blessing and must be honored, but Mary especially is part of God's plan for bringing this blessing to the world in Jesus. This blessing is Christ redeeming a people for himself. Christ himself coming into the world to save sinners like you and me. That old curse of sin that goes back to the Garden of Eden. Our sin in Adam bringing death and destruction and worse, separation from God. Oh, that we need a Savior to save us from the wrath of God upon us because of our rejection of him. We cannot save ourselves. We need a substitute. We need a substitute to remove that wrath of God. God sent Jesus into the world, born of the Virgin Mary, sinless and perfect, to be that substitute that I so desperately need, that Mary needed, and that you, dear friend, brother, and sister, desperately need. That baby that Mary carried in her womb is God's blessing to all mankind, in that he made a way for us to draw near to the throne of grace by offering himself as the perfect sinless substitute sacrifice for us on our behalf. That we should have died and suffered for our sins, but because of Christ, we now live, not for ourselves, but for servants for him. Why? Because 3 days after he was killed on the cross for our sins, he rose from the dead, then ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father, mediating on our behalf. When Mary breaks out into song of rejoicing and sees the work of the Lord for her personally at the beginning, and then she finishes by seeing how she would fit into God's plan for the ages and all nations to be blessed through the salvation to come because of the work of Christ. What a remarkable song from such a young person. So Luke shows us the blessed fulfillment of the announcement leads to God's people rejoicing. And he did this by showing us the details and the fulfillment with Elizabeth and the rejoicing song of Mary. Christmas songs, I think, are a ton of fun, and I enjoy singing them. The music produces happy emotions, memories, anticipation, and joy. The season also brings all kinds of stress, anxiety, loneliness, and perhaps pain. And Mary knew this well, so God providing her a blessing in Elizabeth to encourage her, build her up, and confirm his work in her. In the time of anxiety, fear, and unknowns, Mary remembered all the songs and the psalms of the Old Testament to create a marvelous peace on the blessing that Jesus would be to all nations. Her soul was turned to rejoicing in the salvation that her little baby would bring to a lost world. May our souls magnify the Lord like hers as we wait for the fulfillment of his promised return while we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us pray. Our God in heaven, we thank you and we praise you for today. May our souls magnify you. May you be made known and glory brought to your name through us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.